thank you for making this a priority. Some of you may not know Phil and Kitty McMillan, but I'll basically just turn this time over to Phil, and you can introduce your wife and tell us about your ministry.
Okay, thanks.
Actually, let me have prayer,
yeah,
and then I'll turn it over to you, okay? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that brings us together. Thank you for the opportunity to serve and to worship a risen Savior. And now we thank you for Phil and Kitty being with us. Thank you for the joy of being able to support them through our prayers as well as financial support. And now I pray that this experience today might be enlightening, might be educational, so that we can know more of the field and how better to pray for them. Give them strength and in all the goings-on, because we know it's a busy time and with all the reporting to churches. So direct their steps, Lord, and may this be a great day to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Kitty's right here, my wife. She's keeps me in line, and I appreciate always her the ministry she has alongside of me. We have our prayer cards are at the back table, so please do pray for us. I know you do, and we appreciate that very much. Your service to the Lord on our behalf through prayer, it's very important. What we're going to do today, especially because we have some younger people in the audience, we've got some videos of the Pendjari National Park up in northern Benin, which is right just north of the town that we would really like to reopen for gospel ministry and form a team there. We don't have anybody in Benin right now, so when you see those videos coming up, that's what that's about. That's kind of interspersed in the presentation that we're going to be looking at today. Here's the first one. We have a lot of bugs and butterflies. Some of them are nasty and some of them are beautiful. Anybody like spiders in particular? There we go. Okay. Yeah, the person who took many of these pictures is a colleague of ours, Judy Bowen, and there's a book, I guess, of her work back on the table you can take a look at. Just to give you an idea about ministry involvement, this is just a list that we put together. Most of our time is spent with our own missionaries, trying to encourage them. We do training of our leaders, and we visit them and just sit with them, take time with them. We also spend time with the national church, national leaders, and try to build into future leadership. Leadership is a big question, and in fact, in the message today, I want to address the whole idea of and need for mobilization of new church planting missionaries that need to be in place because we feel like we're losing ground, especially in quality. This year, we had planned a West Africa Regional Conference where all of our missionaries would come together in one place, kind of to get out of their context, but just as part of the report, I'm telling you that we didn't make it, and we didn't have that conference, so we're rescheduling, and we use that time for training and for encouragement, just for rest. The families have the afternoon free and have some fun, so that's an important time of cross-pollinating a ministry. People get to talk to each other about what's going on in the other regions of the world. It's amazing. Watch this this antelope. Now, he's looking here because he knows. Now, those are baby crocodiles, so he's not real worried, but he knows not to go close there, and they're just laying there on the side. Over here, you'll see a little bigger one. He's laying right there on that little section there. And he's just waiting for a little pig or something to come by because he probably could handle that one for a meal. So this is in northern Benin, almost up to Burkina Faso. In fact, there's only a river, a little stream, a little river between this area and Burkina Faso where some of the difficulties have been with the terrorists up in Ouagadougou. So we're not far from there by any measure, and it's a concern for us. You may have some questions about that afterwards. So all kinds of animals, antelope, horse antelope, Cape buffalo, lions, and you'll see some more later. Beautiful animals. This happened just, we were just driving along and we saw these two sparring along the road, so we stopped and got this video. They're totally oblivious that there's a truck sitting right there. Normally they'd be running off, but they're so interested in what they're doing that they just... We have some exciting things going on in Togo as well as in the Gambia with radio. In the Gambia, which is an area where we don't have very many options how to reach people. So we purchase a radio programming. I forget if it's an hour or half an hour, probably half an hour weekly. And then there's the opportunity to call in. And so there's one cell phone that's associated with that program. And they call in and these Muslims can hear the gospel from one of our missionaries. This is in northern Togo, Hope Radio. And this crew went out to put up this tower. And they found an African group that knows how to do this. So they engaged them with and painted the tower and everything. And the Africans themselves helped us put it up. I wasn't there at the time, but it sounds like it was an exciting moment to see everything come together. So I think it's a 190-foot tower, FM station, that's going to be broadcasting. They've gotten a couple of the main buildings up already, and they're working all the time on the kind of programming that we can use and not be offensive, but still be effective. Another exciting tool, really, for ministry is the aviation program. We had a really nice 206 out there, we thought, refurbished the engine, got the engine back in. Then the pilots started finding some issues. So they brought everything back, and they're down in Waxhaw, North Carolina right now at the JARS station, and they've torn the whole thing apart and just gutted it entirely. Found a lot of things, but now they've refurbished it. This is how it looks today, and it's going to be almost brand new. They figure they'll get at least 10 years out of it before they have to do anything major. So God has been really good. The upgrade project cost $72,000, and it is all paid for. Other ministries that are important but don't get a lot of spotlighting are literature production. Judy Bowen, who has the book, she's in charge of that with her team. And putting out a lot of French, they're translating, doing different things that are useful and that our churches can buy and use, distribution of tracts and that kind of thing. So these are other little ministries that don't get a lot of attention. Another thing we found up in Penjari, just amazing how God makes things, right, in his creation. These birds apparently burrow into the side of, this is on the Burkina Faso side of the river, and they burrow in there, I guess, and make their nests. I was surprised that they did that because of the snakes. You'd think that'd be easy for the snakes to come in and rob the nests and everything, but maybe because of their numbers or something, they can ward off the snakes. Anyway, we found that really fascinating. We just stumbled on that. Some of those we wouldn't say are particularly pretty, but... Now we have a couple bits of sad news that we need to share with you. I think I've lost the picture on this, but early this year, you got the news about Todd DeKreiger passing. 1 year to the week of the opening of the hospital, God allowed him to succumb to Lassa fever. Nobody really knew what it was. Started out, we think, with malaria, because the symptoms are similar, and then they treated also for typhoid fever. And then apparently they think that Lassa came with a little girl that was treated by Todd at the hospital, and that eventually after about 2.5 weeks they knew that Todd was not doing well at all, and so they brought in through Samaritan's Purse an air ambulance and evacuated him to Germany. This is his father-in-law asking God's protection. as they take off for Germany, and then Todd finally died in Germany. So they weren't, because of the complications of a disease-infected body, they sent the ashes back to Togo, and we were able to have a ceremony there at the hospital site. This is Todd and his family. Four boys. We're really proud of them and their response to their dad's passing. They seem to be doing really well. But Jennifer has a lot on her plate, getting those boys ready now for college. And how do you transition? Do you go home with them? Do you stay home? What do you do? It's not an easy question. And then we have to report that, how many weeks ago did Cheryl die? Has it been 2 weeks? So not even 2 weeks, we had another colleague in the same place, just within sight of the De Kreiger's house, a short-term nurse, Cheryl Cleveland, also went to be with the Lord. Unexpectedly, I guess she had respiratory issues. That's the report that we're getting. So that team is kind of just stunned and bewildered as to what God's doing and trying to teach us all. It isn't always one thing, but everybody has lessons to learn from God through that. But anyway, pray for that. The northern team in Mongo, they're really seeing a good harvest of spiritual things and of souls. And so part of it is certainly Satan cannot let that stand, right? But while God is in control, we have to understand that God must be doing something in his own time frame and for his own purposes that we may not understand fully. Just want to let you know that there's a lot going on with women's training, youth conferences. We're working on Bible Institute and even Bible college level training because we found that we needed ongoing training. And actually, Kitty and I, in our church planning time there, three terms, one thing I think we missed was that we did not provide for ongoing training for our pastors. And what that does, if you stop learning, you know what that would do for you. You would, if you stopped reading books and stopped learning, you would not be prepared for what's next, and that you tend to stagnate where you were. And we're finding that that's causing also problems among the churches because they don't have their vision outward, and they're kind of turning it inward, and so that's not a good thing. Anyway, we're thinking about and moving toward a Bible college level kind of a thing that is not really ABWE, but it's kind of a neutral school that's being formed by our missionaries as well as some of the national leaders who are church planting and feel the need to fill that bottleneck and to train leaders. The lion's hungry, but he hasn't decided yet how to satisfy that. It's pretty rare to see lions up there, but we had the privilege of getting some footage. Now, this isn't our backyard. You understand that, right? We have to travel a long ways to see this. This is not what we see when we step out. Now, we're in a modern city in Lome, and we're lucky if we see a rat. So, no, we're not. I want to remind you that we work with partners, and we're just talking this morning a little bit about the languages in Africa. We have Portuguese-speaking Brazilian partners from Multicultural Maranatha Mission out of Brazil. The Brazilian churches are sending missionaries over to Africa. Good church planting work in the Cape Verde Islands. We have a partner dentist family that's with us in the Gambia. We also have French missionaries from France sent by the French churches in northern Togo. And so we have a good relationship with some of the other organizations that God is using around the world and who are coming in, and we provide some infrastructure that benefits them, but they also benefit the ministry highly. And so we're grateful for our partners. Just remember to occasionally to pray for them too. These are strong Brazilian believers and churches that are sending out missionaries. So here is Junior and Monica and Fabio and his family over in the Cape Verde Islands. So when we visit them, we don't speak Portuguese. We speak French, but not Portuguese. So fortunately, last time we were able to find a young missionary kid who could translate for us, and we had a really good time of interaction. But without that, we'd be stumbling along when we visit them. We had one family, ABW family, in Cape Verde. That's why the emphasis, and that's why we would visit. We don't have that family there anymore, so it's just the Brazilian missionaries, and we still try to visit them. Then I mentioned to you that we have reopened Benin. This is Natitengu. It's about an hour and some from the park, the national park. It's a beautiful town. It has a great little airport. We have aviation in our region, and we have pilots both in, we have four pilots just for Togo, and then we have one and maybe another one for the lake over in Ghana. So we have, for some reason, God has sent us a number of pilots and equipment. And this is an area where we could use that tool to get into Benin. It's an animist Muslim mix here, and unreached people groups are surrounding this important northern town. So we're excited about reopening Benin and seeing what God will do over there. We're trying to build a team now. And so we really need strong church planters, pastor mentor types, people who can mentor men and women. It's hard to think of baboons as cute, but there's something about them that's, the babies at least, kind of cute. So they just forage and they travel in groups, and they can be pretty dangerous. Some of the big males are big, and you don't want to encounter them by yourself, at least not without a gun. So a lot of Africa used to look like this, you understand, but now Africa has really modernized, and the cities are growing rapidly. Millions of people in most of the capital cities. Very significant economies in West Africa. But there are parts that are still like this. Okay, enough of the baboons, right? We're still focused heavily, always, at the core. ABW is about church planting. And essentially, your church is coming out of that philosophy, right? That's where that came from. And so it's very important, because you know that the impact that you can have in your community, and we believe in that. We believe that the local church and establishing new local churches is at the heart of the New Testament. And so we continue that. Kitty and I attend this little, what we would call a startup or chapel. And they're doing really well. They're funding themselves. Kitty and I don't put a lot of money into this project, but they're starting to build their own building. They're strong. They have good teachers. And it's coming out of one of the churches the second church that we planted in the city of Lomé. So we're attending here just to try to encourage them. We tried attending two different ones, but we were torn, and we weren't very consistent by doing that. So we stuck with this one, and they're moving forward, and as always, and that's one thing I want to talk about later, is the fact that we don't have enough leaders and pastors who are called of God to come and service these churches. Well, here's the finished product. This is the Lomnava Church down in the heart of Lomé, and this was their autonomy celebration. So we were invited. It's really an ABW. It started as an ABW missionary-led work. And so they asked us to come and help them with this ceremony, finish it off, and more or less declare it to be a finished product. So here's the new pastor. And Joseph on the left is the one who brought this church back to this point, and is responsible really for the success of that ministry. A lot of people attended. These people, most of the men right here, are pastors of other churches who came in support. We found that it's not difficult to locate the elephants. They seem to be everywhere. One of the funny things that elephants do is they knock down a palm tree because they know that if they knock that down and it kills it, that if they come back in a week, they can crush the center of that and it'll be fermented. And they can have that fermented juice out of the palm tree, and they kind of like that for some reason. So they've learned to do that. And they're pretty destructive animals. When you go through the park, you can see things, trees laying over, and they'll reach up and just snap a whole branch off because they want a few leaves out at the end there. Very strong animals and very fast. They're so big and they move so slowly, you don't realize they're taking 12 feet at a step, you know, and they can gain on people quickly. We are in 6 countries in West Africa. That's just our responsibility, and we use 2 languages, 3, half are French, half are English. So we work in French and English. Now, the English we work in is not... I'm not sure we're really communicating, even though it's in English, because English is so different. In Liberia, we have English coming from the American slaves who return. So that's Southern American English in Africa, spoken by Africans. In Ghana and in the Gambia, we have British English. So those are different kinds of English. And within Liberia, there are several kinds of English. So you never know which kind you're speaking or listening to, and what you hear is not really necessarily what's being said. So it's not real helpful that it's in English, frankly. I would much rather communicate in French. I know when I'm making mistakes in French. I don't know even in English if I'm communicating, because the assumption is that this is English, right? So when I talk, they must be understanding. But I've been in meetings in Liberia where I'm sitting with a group of pastors and they're talking English and I have no idea what they're saying. So I feel lost more in English than I do in French. Africa is changing very rapidly, and you know through the news all that's going on, and West Africa is a pretty active place with terrorism threats and all that. You know what happened in Ivory Coast. You know maybe Ghana and Togo have publicly been announced as the next targets. So Togo, we expect we've kind of picked out which hotel we think they're going to actually hit. And so it's just that kind of a world these days. When we first went out, it was just quiet little old Africa, and we went there to do Jesus' work and the gospel ministry. And it's just, life is just rugged sometimes right now, and all these considerations, governmental expectations. For example, at our hospital, we have to, every time we pay the employees before they get their money, we have to check their name, even though we did that last month, we have to check their name against the OFAC check, which is the foreign assets check against terrorism. We got to make sure, if I give something to one of our pastors, I have to make sure he's not a terrorist. I have to go online and check his name, literally, or else ABW can be in jeopardy. The U.S. government has nearly shut down already some mission agencies because they're not checking. So they're just these kind of things that just eat up time that are just really not helpful to the gospel, but that's the world we're in. If we want to serve there, we've got to comply and do these kind of things. So it's really, really different. And we have 3 levels right now of security training going on for all of our missionaries. So all of our missionaries globally were required just now to take an online security training. In December, Kitty and I will be taking an on-field, it's a crisis management, it's really a security training that missionaries need to go through to understand what they should do if they're kidnapped, because it's going to happen. It's not a matter of when or if. It's a matter of when. So we have to have that training in place, and then later on we're going to have a contingency planning. How do you plan for those contingencies in a leadership capacity, and so that's going to happen the rest of this year. So it's just it's the world we live in. We have to comply with and be obedient to authority, and we have to be ready. So it's a matter of learning how to observe, be observant, be prepared. Things are going to happen. We just need to know and understand and learn a little bit about what to do to survive in situations like that, because we really do understand that that's going to happen and has happened to other missionaries already. So, and yet Africa is still pretty much the same. Over in Benin, which is where this is, witchcraft and voodooism is still very, very prominent. So the ancient religions and the ancient traditions are still there, and the gospel can penetrate all of that. We have Muslims coming to Christ in northern Togo consistently now. And so it's really encouraging to see the power of the gospel, whether it's the old religion or some of the world religions, or whether it's just a destructive or ungodly, unbiblical worldview that people are carrying around. We need to use the gospel to bring people back to a knowledge of God and take captive every thought in honor of our Savior. So maybe you have some questions now for us. Pastor, what are we shooting for, a quarter after?
Yes.
Okay. So we have a couple minutes, and we need to take a break. Well, we're in the Cape Verde Islands. Right across from them is the Gambia. And then down a little ways is Liberia, where all the hurricanes start and come across the Atlantic, the Gambia and that area. And then down around the corner is Ghana, Togo, and Benin. And then we are responsible, too, for the Cameroon, but we don't have any missionaries there. So we have one country in Central Africa. It's often not easy, and it's not cheap. Intra-Africa air travel is very expensive. So by God's grace, we only have to fly to 3 of the 6. Well, with Cape Verde now, we'd fly to 4 of them. But we can drive to 3 teams, Ghana and the 2 teams in Togo, within easy reach with our truck. So that's not a hardship. But visas, always a question. I mean, sometimes we have to get visas here. Like if we're going to plan to go to Cameroon in 6 months, we really need to get the visa here in the U.S. in Washington, or else it's virtually impossible to get there. Some countries you can get visa on arrival, but then the airlines, if they don't know that, they won't let you on board if you don't have a visa already. So it's a complicated puzzle. We almost missed our last flight to Africa because we didn't have a Ghana visa, and we knew we could get it there, but they weren't content with that. So we almost missed our flight. I'm an MK, missionary kid from the Central African Republic. My parents served there many years, church planning and refurbishing churches and encouraging leaders. So I went there pretty early. It was when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And I came back the final time when I was 17. So my thought process is a lot about Africa, and that's where I was saved. God showed himself clearly to me at age 12, and I trusted Christ when I was 12 in Africa. And so my burden was immediately for the Africans in regard to the gospel. When we were growing up, we didn't have to go very far to see animals like this, but Africa has really changed. There is always going to be resistance to some degree to the gospel in a primitive or a village with traditional religion. But generally speaking, in our part of Africa, receptivity has been very good. As people begin to hear the gospel, forgiveness of sins, that it doesn't rely on their own works of righteousness, that he only counts the righteousness of his son Jesus with which they are clothed if they receive him. And the good news of the gospel, when they start hearing that, receptivity is really quite high. So, but there is resistance. One of our pastors would testify that, one of his church members who had come out of a big fetish family, and this was in the capital city, a section of the town that was highly fetish in terms of the roots and the origins of its people. They would pray curses on this church and on that new believer, which is their own family member. And just don't discount that. Don't discount the power of that, because that stuff is real. The pastor of that church, and another incident, he was talking with a fetish person who was going to cast a spell or a curse on someone, and he stepped between them, and the person touched his shoulder, and he developed cancer there. This is one of our pastors. Now, we can write that off, right? We can say, coincidence. probably not. Probably that was a real effect of satanic influence in his life. So there are real things that we need to take into account, but the power of the gospel is superior, isn't it? Well, Kitty and I always appreciate knowing that you're there and that you're praying, so thank you for the time. Our Father, we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you that it doesn't matter where we are in the world, what language the people speak, but as long as they're able to hear the truth of the gospel, in their own language, that explains that you laid on him, Jesus, who knew no sin, so that he would become sin for us, and that in return we might become the righteousness of God in him. Thank you for that name, the privilege of being part of that community that trusts and is faithful to you. And then the privilege of taking the gospel to our communities. We know that here in America, we see on a daily basis that we desperately need that same gospel. We pray that you would help us wherever we are to be faithful in giving out that good news. Thank you for the time together. In Jesus' name, amen.